John proclaimed this message, prepare the way of the Lord. And is this not also the core of the season of Advent? We are preparing for the Lord, his come at Christmas. Now, when we hear the word prepare, what do we think? We have a lot of ways in which we prepare that are probably very common on our minds. You know, decorating the house and getting everything set up for Christmas. That's one level of preparation. Or getting the house all cleaned and ready for guests that are coming. That's also preparation. But let's be very blunt about one thing. How are we preparing for the Lord to come into our lives? Which is really what we're doing right now. Christmas is just a point to help us recognize the whole core of this season, and it's leading us to recognize God's constant action in our lives. That's what we should be preparing for. Now, the big question underlying all of this is, in preparation, we have to know what we're preparing for, or in this case, whom we are preparing for. Because we can say all these things about preparation and be all ready and whatnot, but if we don't know what we are preparing for, it doesn't do any good. And the same thing works for us today. We need to know whom we are preparing for. Not just an idea, not a concept, but really know the person, God, that we are preparing to allow into our lives in a more profound way through the Advent season and into Christmas. I sense that for a lot of us, we have images and concepts of who God is. One of the most common ones is God is love. And we all like it. Isn't it nice? Aw, God is love. What does that mean? Like, seriously, what does it mean that God is love? It's a rather profound phrase and one that needs some reflection, because we normally think of it in kind of the Valentine, happy-go-lucky kind of feel, but that's not what we mean by God is love. It means that God has such a deep desire for his people that he'll do anything for them. One of my favorite passages to describe the great burning love of God comes from the book of the prophet Hosea. In the book of the prophet Hosea, Hosea is given a vision or a kind of an oracle of what God's love is like. And it says this, when Ephraim was a child, I loved him. Into his arms I took him. I cared for him, helped him to walk, fed him. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk. It was I who led him. It's that level in gravity. I drew him with cords of love. That's the great burning love of God. He guides us every step of the way. He teaches us his ways. He wants to draw us into his heart, help us to understand his ways. But the idea of as God is love goes so much bigger than that. And we get a sense, just a sense of it, from our first reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. We also get a sense from the book of the prophet Isaiah. We get a sense from so many different locations in which it's not just like God has his people and they do his ways and he blesses them. But when they're sent into exile in Babylon, there's an image in the book of the prophet Ezekiel when God mounts his chariot, whatever that means, and he goes across the desert to go find his people. It wasn't enough just for him to wait in the temple. He was going to go off and find them. And that's what the whole book of the prophet Ezekiel is about, that God so desperately wants to be with his people that he traveled the distance to find them. And there's no greater love that we can express than what's in the New Testament, where God desired beyond all things to come and be like us. And that wonderful line in the Gospel of John that says, the light came into the world and the darkness could not overcome it. He came to his own people and his people did not recognize him. That's what I call the saddest line in Scripture. God came to be with his people and they didn't know it. This is the desperate love of God. This is what we need to ponder as we start to recognize who God is, whom we are preparing for. We also know of God as Savior. You know, Jesus saves, that wonderful slogan, or God is my Savior, or I hope to make salvation. We use this phrase a lot. But really, what does it mean that God is our Savior? There's probably no more common theme in all of Scripture than God as Savior. It starts at the beginning, it goes all the way to the end. It's in every book of the Bible, because there's something underlying it that's very important for us. So as a starting point, we have the book of Exodus, which is really the pinnacle of what is meant by God as Savior, in which the people are in Egypt and they're suffering. What does God do? He doesn't just kind of release them free. He shows an expression of his power saying, I will protect my people. You know, the 10 plagues, kind of awkward, but yeah. He sends the 10 plagues to show a sense of his power and how he will always let his people be free. He freed them from all that, giving them new life. But then we also have a sense of that from the book of the prophet Baruch today, in which Baruch is getting this sense of the people who are in exile finally being free again. and listen to their response. It is one of incredible joy. We are finally let free. God is here with us. We know it. We can travel across the desert. There's nothing that'll prevent us from seeing our God again because he has freed us. And our psalm, that beautiful word from the psalm, when the Lord set us free, we were like men dreaming. That's the sense we need if we want to know of our God as Savior, that we are set free from any adversity, any problems, if we just focus on him. And it's so profound that the only word to capture that sense of freedom is joy, the one that permeates both the first reading and the psalm, joy. We also need to get a sense of that. What does it mean that God is my Savior? What does it mean that he has set me free? What does it mean for me to recognize that with joy? But we need to make this even more personal, because God is coming to meet each and every one of us. And the big question, the question that the Gospel of John wrestles with is, will I recognize it? Do we know when God comes? It's a very, very important question, because we can get lost in ideologies and concepts, but never really grasp who God is. So let me throw a little quiz out there. Yeah, we're going to have a pop quiz in the middle of Mass. Ready for it? So which one of these is truly an expression of God? I'm driving down Reserve and I hit every green light. Nearly miraculous if you ask me. Or I'm walking to a store and I meet a friend who really needs help at that moment. Or what if I'm at home and I'm just watching the winter snow fall and it's just a beautiful morning? Or I'm out for a walk and it's brisk and cold? Or how about Father Cody's homily is so bored that I went to sleep? Which ones of these are expressions of God? If you answered all of them, you're right. If you answered none of them, you are right. If you answered some of them, you are right. Why can I say that? I can say that because it's not about the action. It's about recognizing that God's in the action. That's the important part. I can watch the snow fall and go, beautiful. Or I can go, wow, God's creative beauty. I can drive down Reserve and hit every green light and go, yeah, fast, I like this. Or I'm like, wow, God graced me with this moment. See, that's the issue. It's not about what's happening. It's about us changing our minds and hearts to recognize God in our midst and to be constantly focused on that, so that every time we have one of these encounters, it's not just a, yay, that was fun, but truly a realization that God is here with us and an expression of who God is in each of these moments. That is what we're being guided to and encouraged by today's readings, to really recognize who God is, prepare the way in our hearts for it, to let all those mountains of our confusion be made low. Let the valleys that are of our misconceptions and ideologies be filled in so that we can truly have a straight path to know the God who loves us, the God who saves us, the God who wants to be with us.